Hey y'all, welcome back to Bowls with the Bard. My name is Cakes. I am your host. And today we are continuing our conversation with Ilana D'Angelo and Noelia Antweiler from last week, but we are adding their third amigo to the conversation, Debbie Reisenfeld, so we can talk about the weird sisters in Macbeth. But before we get to talking about the characters, let's meet these witches. All right, y'all. We are here with Noelia Antweiler, and we are talking Macbeth and the Merry Wives of Windsor. Noelia, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us what characters you're playing?
Yeah, so as Michaela said, I'm Noelia Antweiler. I use she, her pronouns. I am an actor. I'm also a circus artist. And this season at the Colorado Shakespeare Festival, I'm in both of the shows and the OP, the original practices show. So in Macbeth, I'm playing the first witch, the porter, and the gentlewoman, Lady Macbeth's gentlewoman. And then in The Merry Wives of Windsor, I'm playing Mistress Quickly and understudying Mrs. Page. And then in the OP, which is the Arden of Faversham, which opens on Sunday and closes on Sunday, it's just two shows, I'm playing Alice Arden.
Wow, amazing. So much to take on in one season.
It's a lot. My brain is so saturated, but it's great.
Oh my gosh, I'm jealous. Before we dive into talking about those characters, I am going to get a little high.
Yes.
Did you bring anything to indulge in while
I
we
brought
do
some
that?
wine. It's some rosé. I'm gonna get nice and tipsy.
Beautiful. All right, y'all. We are here with Ilana D'Angelo. Ilana, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us who you are playing for CSF this summer?
Yes, definitely. Hi, everyone. I'm Ilana D'Angelo. I'm a girl. I'm an actress. I'm originally from Massachusetts. I got out to Colorado. I went to University of Northern Colorado, so that's what got me out here. Yeah, I love it here. I am playing Anne Page in Merry Wives, and I'm also the second sister in Macbeth. Beth, and also Pip the servant. He's a little servant boy, but I named him Pip, so that's really important to me that he gets mentioned. And yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. We're so excited to have you. Well, Alana, before we dive into talking about characters, I'm gonna get a little high. Did you bring anything to indulge with today?
I did. I brought a cute little 5 milligram edible. Just a
Ooh,
little something, something, you know.
beautiful. We
Let's
love
go.
it. All right, y'all. We are back with Debbie Reisenfeld. Debbie, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us who you are playing at Colorado Shakes this season?
I'm Debbie Reisenfeld. I'm originally from a small town outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. But I'm Denver-based, been living out here for almost 3 years now. It's my first season out at CSF, and I am playing Sister Three in Macbeth, as well as Murderer Three, which is super fun because you get to, switch it up a little bit. And then Merry Wives of Windsor, I am Bardolph, Rugby, and Robert. If you look on stage and think it might be me, it probably is. And then I was in the OP as well, the original practice show that we did. Gosh, I think like only last weekend, which feels like a lifetime ago. And I was the ferryman and Bradshaw in that. So I'm rocking a like 4 to 2 male to female ratio in
Sweet.
my roles this summer.
I love it. I love it. I got to see you in Merry Wives a couple weeks ago, and delightful. You are so much fun to watch.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's
Of
a
course,
doozy.
of course. Well, before we get talking about one of the characters that you're playing this season, I'm gonna get a little high. Did you bring anything to
Girl.
indulge with?
Yes, I keep making the joke that like I've peaked. I will never be better
Oh,
suited for any interview ever in my life than this. So this is Ursula the Sea Witch,
oh my
my gorgeous.
gosh.
Girly, girly, yeah, and it's our day off, so let's do it,
Hell yeah, hell yeah. All right, let's go.
right?
switch gears over into witchy weird sister land.
Yes.
I've seen maybe more productions of Macbeth than I've seen like any other Shakespeare play.
I feel like that's pretty common. Like that or Romeo and Juliet or Midsummer maybe.
Yes, yes. But of those productions, I've never seen two witches that were the same.
Yeah.
Ever. There are these characters that it seems that we really allow our imaginations to like do things with. So yeah. I am curious a little bit of like past, present, and future here. Like, yeah. What were your thoughts about these characters before you got to play them?
Yeah. So before I even knew that I was cast in this production, like prior to any knowledge of this season, I've always imagined them as like sirens, like sexy, alluring people with a very dark, evil need, urge, hunger underneath them, like this very dark force that drives them. I've always thought of them as being definitely otherworldly, not human, and evil. And alluring in their evilness, you know. I siren, but that's the word that comes to me. Yeah, definitely evil, but like there was always a reason to me why Macbeth and Banquo, when they first come upon the witches, don't just like immediately say "fuck this, I'm out." Like, are scary. Like there has to be a reason why they stay, why they listen to them, and because they're men, I've always thought of them as needing to have that sexual sex appeal piece because. That's what I think of men.
I kind of love that though. Like, I feel like I'm hearing a lot of words that I am used to hearing describe Lady M.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea that they've got similar vibes, but maybe different functions going on. Or yeah, maybe similar functions.
No, I mean, I think they are kind of similar. I feel like Lady M, and I mean, Shantae is amazing, who's playing Lady M this season. But to me, I've always felt like Lady M was very much like that, like this hyper-focused, hyper-intelligent, ambitious, sexual woman, but she's self-serving and like within her marriage. Whereas I feel like the witches are more concerned with global chaos or like situational chaos, or they have like a purpose for a larger thing than just themselves. Like they want to see the chess pieces play out in the way that they're orchestrating.
Yes, yes.
I don't know.
So with that in mind,
yes,
you're playing one now. How
totally different, Michaela. Totally different.
Without spoiling anything, how are we using these witches in this production?
Totally differently than how I had imagined them, and it's really cool. It's a very different thing. I don't think this will give anything away. We definitely have some like witch vibes, but the director's whole concept was that these women are actual women who then have rejected humanity to be themselves, and then they use spirits, potions, you know, like we talked about, like ayahuasca, like that kind of thing, to bring about these visions and to see these things, and that they are connected to nature. And that's how they're able to predict these things, but that they are actual real women. And so it was crazy in the rehearsal room to kind of flip my script on that, but it was also really fun. We did so much like bonding work, me and the two other women, Alana and Debbie. And we worked with this amazing, amazing movement coordinator, Erica Randall, who just like brought us through these like exercises of like, what would it be like if you didn't care what people thought about you? What would it be like if you could remove all of society's pressures? What would it be like if you could remove the gaze of men? What would it be like if you could remove the gaze of women, of people that you respect? What is it just to be fully who you are as a woman? And then, you know, to have a little fun and breathe some stuff and like say some shit, you know? And so it's just been great. And I think, I actually, this is a question that I don't know. And I am curious to hear what audience members have to say of like, I don't know. I think that some people like there, because there are witchy elements. Like we have a cauldron, we have some pyro that is spooky, you know. But we also come out and we're just foraging for things, you know. We're just, yeah, that was long-winded, but
No, that's so interesting. Now I can't
definitely
wait to see
different.
that.
It's definitely different, and I'm into it. Yeah.
Awesome. So with those two things in mind, moving forward, if you could play these characters again or direct them, like what would you do with them, and like how much control would you give them?
I would give them so much control. I would give them so much control. Something that I was thinking about as we were rehearsing this is that I'm also in this production playing the porter and Lady Macbeth's gentlewoman. So the porter is kind of its own bag, own separate journey, which is awesome. But the gentlewoman is around Macbeth all the time. I'm in all these banquet scenes in Act One, and then in Act Two, once she kind of goes mad and starts the hand washing, then, you know, I talked to the doctor about her. And I just think it would be so interesting to have the witches show up as other people in the Macbeth's lives and to influence it. We have a joke backstage that just makes me giggle, but like, you know, Malcolm at the end has taken the rightful kingship, whatever. And he has this joke where he's like, it'd be great if the final line, honor, time, and place. And then you see the witches like come out, like they're gonna now influence him in a bad way. But I would love to see a production where these women are in control of everything and that everyone is just their little playthings and that they're orchestrating the whole thing. I think it would add this like creepy, awful, amazing element to it.
I mean, they're such cool characters because there's really nothing that says you can't do
You could do anything you want.
that.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Awesome. All right, Noelia. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. This has been delightful.
Thank you. It's amazing.
Before we wrap up, do you have any projects that you would like to plug?
I do. My next project is I'm going to be doing Dracula at the Arvada Center, playing Lucy. And something that is really exciting about this production is that I mentioned at the beginning that I'm also a circus artist. And so the director of Dracula has asked me to do aerial silks in the production. So I'm going to be Lucy up in the air, getting bit. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be amazing. So that I forget when it opens, but sometime early September or early October, end of September. It's the Halloween show. So like big month of October.
Awesome. I'll
Yeah.
make sure to link to that in the description and have
Thank
the dates there.
you.
Of course. Awesome. I think that is all I need from you.
Amazing. Thank you, Michaela.
Thank
This is
you.
so
Switching gears from a character who Shakespeare gave kind of no agency to a character who, it's up for interpretation how much agency we
exactly.
want to give them. The weird sisters, you get to play one of them. I'm
Yes.
interested in knowing what were your thoughts about these characters before you started the rehearsal process?
So it's actually so funny because around this time last summer, I kept doing this bit, and it was about the witches in Macbeth. And I say witch because what I'm about to say, like, I was like, what if somebody did them like cartoon witch times 100? Like the cackly, like just like stupid, like that is so stupid and funny to me. And I would just like do it as a joke, like it was just dumb. And then, of course, like this happened. I got to get to be in this amazing show and play a sister, which I've wanted to play a weird sister years, years, years. Like, come on now. It's just so It's amazing. But anyway, so yeah, I always knew, I was like, this is something you can have a lot of fun with. There's like, there was this production at the RSC where it was just like one little girl was doing all of the witches. It was just like one little girl. And then of course, like the Catherine Hunter, there's just so many different sort of ways it can go. And that it almost like scared me a little bit. Like I was like, I really want to do that. I really want to do that. But I'm like, but ooh, it's a little scary. So that's what I thought before. Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. I feel like I'm the kind of person who, if I have like a million choices, I'm overwhelmed. But if I have three, I'm like, oh, okay, that's easy. I get it. And I feel like the witches are the million choice realm.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%.
Yes. Yes. So now you're in the play. Without spoiling too much, what are we doing with these witches?
So these sisters, these women, are real women. You know, in all my conversations with Wendy Franz, our director, and our choreographer, Erica Randall, who's amazing, amazing movement coach, and her choreography just added so much. But in our conversations, you know, in the beginning, when we were talking about them, it's like, these are real women who have real, you know, knowledge about nature and natural healing. And that is antithetical. Is that the word? Antithetical? Yeah.
I think so.
And yeah, to kind of, to like the society and order of like, the world of like the soldiers and the war, and you know, mm-hmm. and it's sort of like this otherworldly thing that threatens that hierarchical structure, and that's what's scary about it. You know, it's not the hee hee hee, we're witches, we're like, it's not like I literally like, I laugh so hard, I call it, I'm like, it's not like Party City Witch, it's not that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so these women are real, and yeah, that's sort of our take on it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I look forward to seeing that take. I really, and antithetical is the exact right word. Like, I love putting those two things in contrast with each other, like the women versus the men and the soft versus the hard, like, that's cool.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, moving forward, if you had the chance to do it all again, to direct them or play them in the future, what would you do? And like, how much control would you give these characters?
Yeah. There's this folk album. It's like a concept album, and it's called Songs for Macbeth by Emily Scott Robinson. And it's like, it's this beautiful like Appalachian folk album. And I would love to do like an Appalachian Macbeth. I think that'd be really cool. Awesome. And I think, you know, it's funny. I'm always cautious about music in Shakespeare plays, but I think, I don't know, I would love like sort of a banjo, like if, I don't know if the sisters like were a little Appalachian like folk group, like these weird women in the forest, and they play what's the instrument called? My God, the banjo. Oh. And stuff like that. They play the, yeah, I was like, not me about to say ukulele. No, they're playing the banjo. And it's sort of like, I'm also so intrigued by like, you know, societies like in the woods or sort of in the mountains. Like, I think that's really cool. And so I'd love to do like an Appalachian Macbeth, and the sisters are again like real women, but they do have this like higher knowledge and this higher power. And I think like, even though technically they only have like three really big scenes, they also have that Hecate scene, but we cut the Hecate stuff. But anyway, I feel like their presence in the other scenes could be really interesting. Like, even if they're just sort of in the background watching something, you know, like I think that'd be really cool to just see how much you can sort of weave in their presence in all the scenes. Yeah, and I would love to have the sisters be like three distinct ages. Like, one is like a super young girl, like maybe she's like 9 or something. Maybe one's like 60. Then I'd love to do like an old woman as one of them. Like, I think that'd be really cool. So yeah, that was so long-winded. But Appalachian is the big theme. Appalachian.
I love that. I've seen like a few Appalachian themed Shakespeare plays in general and have been obsessed every time. So.
It's so cool. I mean, I was so lucky. I got to do this like schools and parks tour of Hamlet a year ago, and it was with Kentucky Shakespeare, and I loved it. I loved it. But we toured Hamlet through like these Appalachian towns, like these little farm towns, you know, these kids, it's like that's what they know is like they're gonna work on the farm and that's their family farm. Like, and it was really cool to see how they reacted with this text and, or I mean, with Hamlet, I'm sorry, but how they react with Hamlet. I just think it's Appalachia is very cool to me. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a part of America that doesn't get appreciated as much as it could.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
For
Totally.
sure. Well, Alana, thank you so much for coming and talking to me. We will wrap up there.
Sway.
All right, y'all. We are back with Devi, and we are gonna talk about some witches. Devi,
Yeah, our
we've been.
sisters.
Yes,
Yeah,
the
the
sisters.
sisters.
Debbie, we've been talking a lot about like the versatility of these characters, how they can be so many things. So I'm curious about your personal experience with these characters. So to get
Oh yeah.
started, what did you think about them before you got the chance to play them?
Oh yeah. I mean, double toil and trouble literally comes from this play. And so there's such a like spooky witch aspect to that that has been carried through for, I mean, generations now, right? And I think that a lot of times you see people really lean into the supernatural of it, but it works so much for the show because so much of what Macbeth has going on questionably is delusion, right? Questionably is this a dagger I see before me? Well, probably not, my dude, right? Like there's so much of it that can be perceived as whether it is real or not, whether what is seen or not, what is tangible or not in the show. So I think a lot of times you see them lean more into that supernatural spooky side. A lot of the productions I got to see, I've seen a couple at like other Shakespeare regional theaters around. Had a really cool opportunity in 2019 to see a cool production, and they really leaned into that spooky, like black and oh, it was awesome. It was like lightning, thunder, like the conjuring of everything, right? And then to then come to this one, which I'm sure is where we're getting, and to not give anything away too much, but to get into this one where we really like stick it more in a realm of reality, obviously, like we're still calling upon, but it's much more grounded in this, like these are real women who potentially like live on the fringe of society and do all of that. So I like that these characters, like you said, are just they're all over the place when you see different places do interpretations of this show, right? Like you're rarely really seeing much of anything that's exactly the same because there's so much you can do with it.
No, I think I said to Noelia, like, I never have seen two that I was like, oh, that really reminds me of this other
Reminds.
production. Like,
Yep.
never. I've seen them be like young women who are like knitting throughout the whole production. And then I've seen like,
Or like children.
yes,
Like I've
yes.
heard of like places doing children before, and I'm like, oh,
That's
imagine.
so
So spooky.
creepy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get it right. Yeah. And I mean, but that's so much the beauty of like his work anyway, right? Is what we can take with it and do with it. These ones, these are some famous girlies, right? Like the idea of threes and so much imagery. I mean, there's so many people who are like, oh my gosh, you guys are like Hocus Pocus. And it's like, nah, Hocus Pocus is like, it's like the sisters, man. Like he came first, you know, there's so much like really iconic imagery that comes with the characters that it's fun to see what interpretations you can do, but also see where places find the similarities where it's like, oh yeah, but there's always that moment, you know.
The little
string. I mean, we get to say by the, I mean, Alana gets to say by the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes. So that's like one of the coolest lines in the canon, right? Like,
yes, right? So good, iconic.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yes. Right. Like, I'm like, I don't think that's just me. I'm like, I think it's pretty epic. Yeah,
yes. It's cool. Yeah, 100%. So with that in mind, and without spoiling too much, like, what are we doing with these girlies right now at CSF?
Yeah, I mentioned it a little before, like, we had these amazing meetings. It's really cool. We got to, like, anytime you get to break away from the rest of the cast as like a little mini unit and spend one-on-one time just like sitting down with, we sat down with Wendy, the director, and we sat down with Erica, who is our like choreographer, movement guru, but we also like drew oracle cards and like really got in touch with who we are as women. Like that was really where we started, just to give you like inside scoop to the process, is like there was definitely a connecting moment of like, hey, let's just like all sit down, talk a little bit, get to know each other, get to like share some of our experiences as women in society, share how we're feeling coming into this process, like just so much like what do we want out of this, and really all came to this understanding that we really want these women, as much as we are, like I said, in touch with whatever spiritual beings that may guide us, right? We are real women that live, like I said, on the fringe of society, most likely. They do not conform to what has been going on. There's legend of the women in the woods who perhaps women would go to when they didn't have trustworthy medicine and things within the town, right? Like maybe we're like these medicine women more so that are a safe haven for some should you seek us, right? And I think we really lean into that a lot of just like we're there, right? There's no question, I don't think, although within text, that we are very much there and real, trying to really ground them more than make them spooky spooky. It's more of a grounding until of course the apparitions come, which is technically a third role in the show written in, technically are the apparitions, which I won't give away what we do with that, but that's obviously when we really lean into being overcome
okay
by the forces that be. Yeah
Oh, I love
and
that.
And it's really cool what the design team did with it. Like, shouts out to the designers. I gotta give credit where credit's due, because the effects that they made happen during that scene are dope.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wish I could be like, get your tickets now, but they're already sold out. So get on the wait
list. I think
they're
sold
now.
Out. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So cool. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's so cool that you guys like grouped together like that and had those conversations. I feel like these characters are such a unit that like that's so valuable. And
yeah, oh, absolutely. And like we're three women, individual women coming from very different parts of like places and, you know, things that Noelia spent time in New York and has moved back and is married. And I've been in Chicago and then I've been out on an island and here and I'm living my like, what am I doing? And you have, you know, Alana who's 25 and is like getting her apartment in Brooklyn and like killing it and really starting to boost her career. And it's cool to learn these things about each other before starting and a process where we really do have to be a unit. So much of what we do is like, I mean, it's we're Destiny's Child, baby. Like, you know, I mean, I guess that's not a really good analogy because Beyonce on her own accord is really good.
Yeah, fair.
So we all shine like Beyonce on our own, but when we come together, we are the Destiny's Child.
Yes. It's like
I love
Beyonce.
She's like above me too. Like mother's above me.
Yeah. We stand.
Our Lord and Savior, Beyonce, Giselle Knowles-Carter. Yeah.
If you just like combined Hecate with like one of the witches, then she could be like the Beyonce of the witches.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it's awesome. It's great. Yeah. And it's fun too, because like a lot of productions, we've, again, not to spoil, but it's like that chunk, that heck of chunk usually gets cut a lot. Like if you go see a production, there's a good chance that scene, that chunk gets cut. So no spoilers, but don't be super disappointed if you're coming this next week and you don't see that part, because we handle it. We handle it as a three. So
I believe that for sure. sweet. So with all of this in mind, if you got the chance to do it all again, to direct mm-hmm. it or play them again,
yeah,
what would you do? Like, how much control would you give them?
Oh man, I mean, it's hard to say, because like I'm not just saying this, like I really love what we're doing, like I really really love what we're doing with it, so I don't know that it's that I would change anything. We put this show together in 3 weeks, which is wild, like less than 3 weeks technically. We all got together on it was either a Tuesday or Wednesday was the first rehearsal, and then it was like the 2+ weeks later on a Sunday that we opened the show. So imagine a lot of people are coming back for their multiple seasons, but again, it's my first season there, and you're meeting people and you're getting thrown into this like incredibly talented pool of people and you're off to the races. So I think it's more that what we have done with 3 weeks worth of juice, if you will, is amazing. And it makes me wonder, like, given even more time, even more depth to like keep going with what we were doing, I think we can keep going and going and coming up with really, really cool stuff and finding. I think there's always something to find in his work. I think there's always something new every night. So like, knowing with that in mind, it just makes me wonder, like, if we were to get back in the room now for like even one rehearsal, right? What would we zhuzh up? What would we come up with? What would we be like, yo, have you noticed this? Hey, I'm picking up on, you know. But it's hard to say that too, because I really think what we're doing is effective and a lot of fun. So
yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys had a 3-week rehearsal process.
Yeah, truly, like less than that. And that means, like, again, I mean, what we do is pretty intricate in terms of just like being in sync, but like line load is quite less. So like, imagine some of our top dogs who are out there like doing Macbeth in less than 3 weeks. It was very impressive, and they really led the charge on energy going into the show, and it made a huge difference, I think, in the final product when you have leads who are really setting a tone, right? It's imperative to a rehearsal process, I think, especially one that's that quick, because you're only right, like you're holding everyone, just your work being at a high caliber is holding everyone else to such a high caliber without ever having to say anything.
Well, it shows y'all are doing really great work this summer. Thanks. You have a really good group of people on stage.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm loving every second of it. It's sad it's over in less than a week. It's so crazy.
I know.
There's obviously that part of you that like, it's exhausting. Like it is a grueling, exhausting summer, but it's so fulfilling and it's so worth every second. So it's so hard, because it's like that itch for like a little break feels so good, but you know that once you have it for like a couple days, you're gonna wish you were back in the room. And if there's one thing I learned in like taking a little bit of time off with pandemic and everything, kind of put me all over the place, and I took a little time off, and I think if there's one thing I learned, it's that it's never guaranteed the next time that you're back on stage. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, and we get caught up, especially when you're booked and busy and all of that stuff. It's hard to, you know, remember. So I'm going into this next week thinking about it, like, because I don't have anything lined up for the fall, which is honestly like a-okay with me. I'm a full-time bartender outside of theater. And yeah, listen, this is a capitalist society. Uh-huh. I'm going to take this fall. We're gonna save up and gear up for the spring and see maybe what we can take off with and do some major auditioning for the spring and summer for next year and see what we can do. But I think because of that, I'm also just remembering that like it could be another 4 years before I'm back on a stage again, right? Another 5. You just don't know. So
that's very true.
Taking this next week to really embrace it and love on it a little extra. Yeah.
Yeah, as you should. And you know, we don't pay very well, unfortunately, but like, I'll send you a little notice when we're auditioning in the spring.
Listen, sister, let me know, because
yeah, I've already seen you on stage.
Kind of. I'm not mad about it.
Sweet, sweet. Awesome. Well, Debbie, thank you so much for being on the
show. Thanks for heading me up. This is fun. This has been great. I love what you're doing. I love that you're featuring some girlies in an industry that, like, forever and ever and ever has been male dominant, right? Like, since the beginning of it all. And it's so fun to really see. It's cool. Like, I'm a girl playing a ton of boys on stage, and boy, has that script flipped since the days of yore.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. It's a beautiful thing. Well, awesome. With that, I think we can wrap up. Thanks so much, Debbie.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed today's episode, you can follow Debbie, Ilana, and Noelia at the handles either on your screen or in the description. The Colorado Shakespeare Festival closes this weekend on August 11th. Macbeth is sold out. You can join a waitlist on the Colorado Shakespeare Festival website. Merry Wives of Windsor, on the other hand, does still have tickets available, so get them while they're hot. This week's episode is the final installment of our summer chapter of Broads and the Bard. We will be back in the fall. I know for a fact we will be talking to the women of our production of As You Like It about Rosalind and Phoebe and Celia and Audrey. But you'll have to tune in a few months to find out what else we are going to talk about. Until the autumn. Bye, y'all.
1,000,000,000 sighs to save. Oh, lay me where sad true lover never find my grave to weep there.